Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, in today's society, we rarely find time to relax anymore. And even when you're on vacation, you're almost always connected to someone who's still at work, your friends, your coworkers, maybe even your boss. Now, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. You know you do it just as much as I do. And you know that even when you're on vacation, you check your phone, your messages on email, your Facebook page, Twitter page, Pinterest, everything else, even while you're on vacation or your time off. That's supposed to be your downtime, folks. But what about your normal everyday routine? You know, I remember back 20 plus years ago, you'd work hard to clear out your inbox before you left work for the day. And, you know, you didn't want to have a stack of stuff to do from today when you arrive at work tomorrow morning. And I remember how frustrating it was to see your boss or someone else walk over to your desk and drop a stack of folders on your desk at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon on a Friday. Well, fast forward to today and the time we live in right now, no longer do they gather together a stack of folders and come waltzing into your office space. I mean, that would mean they'd have to actually confront you on Friday afternoon and tell you how important this was that you get this stuff done. Now, today, they just attach a folder to an email and bam, it's in your possession. Very impersonal, but still needing your attention before you leave for work. And it's not just your boss. I mean, it could be anyone in your office could send you this email. It could even be friends and family sending you something that, hey, can you do this for me? Is there any wonder why we experience so much stress and burnout? Well, my guest today makes it his priority to help you manage those email overloads. Stuart Snooks comes from the Christian perspective at this problem, and he helps you to create order out of chaos and handle those emails and stress overloads. Stuart is an email and productivity expert from down under in Australia. He works with busy professionals and their teams to help them get control of all of their email. Although starting off in the wine industry, Stuart has evolved into a position of a time management consultant specializing with email-related issues of workplace productivity. Help me welcome to the program from all the way down in Australia, Stuart Snooks. Stuart, thank you for coming on the program today to help us get control of the mess called email. Praise God.
It's a pleasure, Bob. Thanks for the opportunity to be involved.
Amen. Well, Stuart, the first question I always ask our guests is this. Other than that short bio I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Stuart Snooks?
Sure. I'm an Australian male. I'm the father of two sons, a husband of one wife, and I think that's the order you're supposed to get it in. And the eldest boy's now married, and my youngest son is just a year off finishing high school, and we'll have that change of season of life coming up. Played a lot of competitive sport, motorsport and cricket here in Australia, but in my mid-50s now, and the body won't do what it used to do, so I'm having to look at other pursuits.
Amen. Now, in case anyone's wondering if I misspelled your name on the show notes or the title, the spelling of your name is from a World War II pilot. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, my father was reading a book written by an Australian, in fact, about British World War II pilot Douglas Bader, who had two middle names, one of which was spelt this way. Mm-hmm. So he obviously thought that would be a good idea, and I've been trying to educate the world around me for the last 50 years.
Hey, well, that's one way of keeping a hero's name in the spotlight, right?
Yes, I hadn't thought of it that way. It certainly makes people remember me, which is these days a good thing.
Amen, amen. Well, let's talk about email overload. How did email, which is supposed to be a way for us to communicate quickly and efficiently, how did that develop into something that's now a burden?
Yes, it's become a victim of its own success, hasn't it, email? It's almost like the Swiss Army knife of tools. We use it for so many different things because it does a lot of them reasonably well. It does very little extremely well, but it does a lot of things very well. And I suppose it's a bit like most things in life. use it well, and it's a blessing. Misuse it, and it can be a curse.
Yeah, amen. Well, if you're an employee at a company and your inbox is overflowing, how can you take control of that? I mean, you can't tell your supervisor to stop sending you email, can you?
No, sure. And it's like a lot of things in life, you know, in the Christian life, we've got to overcome. We can't just evade or escape or opt out. We're going to have to learn the skills and mindsets needed to overcome, to get control. And I talk about three key strategies are needed. What I found is most people's struggles with this part of life can be addressed with one of three strategies, which I call the WWW. Of mastering your email. So just quickly, the three of them are getting control of when we let this part of life get our attention. It's very important that we control when we're paying attention to this part of work. The second W is what we do with it, what's our process, what's our method. And the third one, which has become an increasing issue this day with the volumes that we're dealing with, is where do I keep it? Where do I keep it when I'm trying to keep track of it? Where do I file it and store it so I can also retrieve it again quickly?
Amen. Amen. Has there been any studies on the impact of what you call email overload in the workplace?
Lots of studies now, Bob, because, of course, we've been using it for a very long time. The first email was sent in October or November of 1971 by Ray Tomlinson, who has passed on recently, actually. And I suppose it became mainstream, in certainly here in Australia, in the mid-90s. So we've been using it for 23 years, and so there's been plenty of time for research to be done about the impacts of overload.
Hey, man, what are those studies telling us?
Well, it's the combination of interruptions and volume that's causing the biggest problem. And that's why the controlling when is so important, so we minimise the impact of it being an interruption. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's an asynchronous tool, but we've tended to start using it as synchronous. And so there's a great deal of pressure and urgency around email, which really shouldn't be there. It's not designed in its original form for that sort of synchronous live conversation. But we try and use it that way, and it's putting enormous pressure on receivers as a result of that. Mm-hmm. I wrote a white paper 8-10 years ago just collating the research on it and called it The Seven Impacts of Email Overload on the Seven Impacts of Email and Information Overload. And the one that's become the biggest these days is the psychological impact that it's having on people.
How's that?
As I say to people, you drive a car and hit a tree, it kills you straight away. With email, it's just slower. But you are dying. It is killing you.
Hey, man, that's a good one. I never heard of that one. That's good. I love on your website, you reference the story in Luke 8:38 about the madman of Gerasenes, how after having the demons cast out, he wanted to go with Jesus. He just wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus told him to return home and tell how much God's done for you. Explain why and how you use this verse to explain what you do.
It's not something I talk to people about at all. It's that sort of unspoken motivation or inspiration that I have for doing what I do. Mm-hmm. It would be very easy to be a slave. You know, a lot of us are slaves of email.
Yeah,
and also associated with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to save people from that and then become the substitute idol. My aim is to try and equip people to clothed and in his own right mind and able to be king and lord and of their own life and not just replace one idol with another.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, whoever you serve, the Bible says that's you are a slave to that. And if you're slaving to social media, I mean, I had that problem before. I would spend, you know, sometimes 2-3 hours going through Facebook, commenting on stuff and doing all, and then look up, realize 2-3 hours had gone by and I had actually accomplished almost nothing. I mean, it just sucks you into that vortex and it's hard to get out. And I had to make a conscious effort just to, you know, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes 3 times a day in my schedule where I go through and I do postings and, you know, things like that. And then I'm off. I don't go back on it. People are, you know, hey, I sent you this message on Facebook. I don't check Facebook, but, you know, a grand total of 45 minutes over a period of about 15 hours. I mean, I just don't do it. Email is getting to be almost as bad. You know, so I understand what you're saying, that you could become a slave to this. Now, the implications of email overload from the Christian perspective, you know, are what?
Well, again, we can become a slave, and what was meant for our good can actually be turned around and lead us into all sorts of difficulties, addiction, as you were saying, the addiction of checking, and we start to become a slave to what's driven by coming through the inbox. Mm-hmm. But we're meant to be, you know, kings and lords, masters, and we should be the ruler of it, not the slave of it. So my aim underneath is to help people to have a range of skills, but also attitudes and mindsets that allows them to put it in its rightful place as a tool to enhance productivity, not a hindrance to it.
Amen. You know, like I was alluding to in the opening, you know, back when I was working in the office, this is back when I was in my military days, you know, 20, 25 years ago, there would be, you know, a stack of folders that need to be taken care of. And someone would always come in and interrupt you. Hey, you know, Bob, can you take a look at this? And, you know, could you try and make this coordination work? And we'll get this done, you know, by the end of the day, you know, and it became a priority and you were working on it. But at the same time, you're also knocking out all these file folders that had stuff that had to be done. But with email, yeah, like you said, you know, they send it to you and you get the little notification, boom, here's an email. Like, I really don't want to open this email and read it, but I have to. And it just, again, sucks you in. In your training and your seminars, some people have actually admitted to not even checking all their emails. I mean, they said that they have literally hundreds of emails they have not even looked at yet. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. The volumes have increased exponentially over the years since we've been using email, and it's got to the point where people can't keep up with the flow. It's like the pipe. We've got an email comes through a pipeline and there's so much coming in at one end, we can't get it all through. And so it's banking up usually at the inbox level. And the thing that really creates anxiety for people is what might be in there that they haven't looked at that's of significance to them, that's important or maybe even urgent that right. They're not on top of. It creates a quite high level of stress and anxiety.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I make a point to clear out my inbox several times on a daily basis. I mean, when I say several times, I mean probably half a dozen times easy throughout the day. I cleared out my inbox just before we started this interview, and we're only about 10 minutes in, and there's already 12 emails in my inbox that I've received. I see the little indicator there.
They're constantly
coming.
Yeah, it's a constant stream, isn't it?
Yeah. But I feel, you use the word obligated, to look at it. You know, even though I know out of the 400 emails I get on a daily basis, I might read 10 or 15. And knowing that there's only four or five that actually need my attention. You know, all the rest I just delete out. You know, and like I said, I know I need to unsubscribe from these mail lists, but that seems to take even more time, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, the problem is even when you unsubscribe, sometimes they just keep coming back. I mean, it's terrible. You state that you can help people to have the time, by have, not H-A-V, it's H-A-L-V-E, half the time, double their results, and triple their productivity when using email. How do you do that?
Right. Yeah. One of the first things is to get control of when. Look at email less often, but in a more focused, more proactive, deliberate way. When email started, we weren't getting many, and we had reminders and alerts to get our attention because this was something a bit different. Right. Now it's like a fire hose. It's constantly coming at you, and what we need to do is actually turn it off, get some stuff done, and then come back to it with full attention in a structured way instead of partial attention in an unstructured way. This is something that I get quite animated about, and I'm a pretty passive sort of a guy, is we've just got to get control of when we give attention to this part of our workload. And I find that most of the people I work with have never actually turned around and addressed it head on. they're still being reactive and playing catch up with it. But it's become such an important part, as well as a big part of our daily workload, that we really should have a deliberate proactive strategy for managing when we give it time, because we will do better quality watts or processes or systems, and we'll do better thinking about where we file and keep it if we control when we give that part of our workload our attention.
Amen.
So that's the first strategy, and I talk about a range of things. Firstly, the majority of people that I work with are Outlook users. Occasionally I come across Gmail or Lotus Notes, but whatever the software, the first thing I do is get people to start the day when they open up the software in the calendar view instead of the inbox view. And I'm using a story these days, like the 100-meter sprint. You're never going to have a good finishing time. We're never going to have a good day if we don't get out of the starting blocks well. And it's very hard to start the day well when you spin your wheels in the inbox. So getting the default view of the software to come up with calendar first gives us big picture perspective of commitments and timeframes, things we already need to do. And often those are the results of email from yesterday or 2 days or 2 weeks ago. But what most people do is start in the inbox on the bright, shiny, new, urgent things at the expense of what they've already made a commitment to, and then wonder why they're struggling to keep up.
Yeah, that makes sense. How can someone use their calendar? Like I have, you know, appointments and interview times like this scheduled in on the calendar. But how does that help relate to the email issue? I guess I'm
sure.
Cloudy.
A lot of people do use the calendar just for appointments and meetings and not much else. And what I encourage them to do is think of that tool as your personal assistant that manages your workload, your timeframes, your commitments. Because if you're not using the calendar, you know, what sort of tools are we using? And people tend to use a range of tools, paper to-do lists or diaries or post-it notes. Or for a lot of people, they try and manage this all mentally with the memory. And our mind is just not able to keep up with the range and complexity of things that we have to keep track of during the day. So we need to get things outside of our head and use a tool that we can trust to bring it back to us at the appropriate time. And this is why to-do lists and task lists don't work very well, because they're very good at identifying what needs to be done. And you can even put a deadline on that, which lets you know when it needs to be done by, but it does not answer the question, when will I spend the 15 or 30 or 60 minutes actually doing that piece of work? Only the calendar forces us to make that decision. And so I show people under the what part, the process for processing email, a 4D process, and converting a meaningful work that's going to take some time and effort, into the calendar and allocating a particular time frame for it.
So you actually schedule your appointment with your email.
Yeah, an appointment with yourself to do a piece of work in your calendar, because when you think about it, it's going to take time. Are we controlling the time or are we not controlling the time? It's very hard to control the time that we're going to give to it in an inbox, much easier when we allocate that time in the calendar. And so we're starting to work from a calendar basis rather than an inbox basis. We're starting to work proactively instead of reactively. We're starting to do work and make good decisions about it as it shows up instead of when it's about to blow up because we're about to hit a deadline.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I have to ask, what is the one-touch email process that you use to help people keep an empty inbox?
Yes, it's this principle of only touching an email once. It used to go around in the workplace about a piece of paper. If you picked up a piece of paper, you only touched it once and moved it on. You didn't put it back in the in-tray or put it back where it came from. And it's that whole principle of touch once. As I say, one of the quotes I'm known for is, your time's too valuable to ever look at an email more than once. Without actually taking action and moving it on. And so I have been showing for 14 years since I specialised in this area how to use the 4D method. We make one of four possible decisions the first time we touch an email. And the old 80-20 rule kicks in. 80% of them will fall into place and won't have to be looked at again. For the remaining 20%, we've captured the results of the thinking and decision-making so that it comes back to us at the appropriate time. And we can do it at the deeper level of thinking, workload management or the actual task itself at the appropriate time in the future. And that's why it's so important to control when, because if you're only looking at email as you get interrupted by it or on an ad hoc basis, you just have not got the attention to give it to do the thinking that's needed to make the decisions. This is why when's so critical. So you sit down and you give it your full attention. It's like a handbrake in a car. Now, when we look at email in an ad hoc way, it's like trying to drive the car with a handbrake on. Mentally, you know, we just don't function well. But when you sit down at an allocated block of time and give it your full attention because you've set aside the time to do it, it's like you put the handbrake off the car and now you can, your brain can get going. It can really rev up.
Amen. Amen. The 4D method, what are the 4Ds? Can you explain that?
Yes, sure. All of the great time management gurus over the last 20 or so years that I've been involved talk about a 4D approach. You would have heard of Stephen Covey, Brian Tracy, David Allen is probably the current productivity guru around the world. Timothy Ferriss also talks about 4Ds. Every time we look at an email, we just make one of four decisions, and the first one's your favorite. This is delete. The second one is deal with it straight away. And the rule of thumb here is if you can take the next action that's needed for this email in 2 minutes or less, it's quicker to do it now than the time it takes to store it, keep track of it, retrieve it, read it, think about it, make a decision, and do it later. Roughly, if it's going to take less than 2 minutes, it's more economic to do it straight away and you've dealt with it. The third D is to delegate. The next action is appropriate for someone else to do, so you would pass it off to them. And if you can do that in less than 2 minutes, you do that straight away. And the fourth D is, now a lot of the time management guys talk about defer. And I don't like that idea because that's like not making a decision. I actually call the fourth D decide, make a decision. And decision making involves thinking, and thinking involves a bit of time. And again, that's why it's so important to give yourself the time so that your mind has permission to do the thinking. It doesn't take a lot of thinking. As David Allen says, you know, it's that burst of mental energy to get clarity on what the next action is. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes more than most of us give it when we're only looking at email on the run. Yeah. And the three possible decisions are, and I've now broken this up into two passes of the inbox. You do a very quick pass called the triage, where you decide what's the priority of this, what's the next action, and when am I going to come back to it and give it some deeper level of attention? If it is one that I couldn't defer, sorry, if I couldn't delete, deal with, or delegate. And I've got a process now where I show people how to set up the inbox in Outlook to capture the results of that thinking. So we have three columns there where we can choose a priority, high, medium, or low. We have a column where you can freeform type in what's your next action. And we have a column where you can allocate the date. And then they'll drop into place because we set the inbox up so that it's grouped by date. So if I decide that I'm going to get to this on Monday the 7th, it will drop out of sight and be on a list under the 7th of the month. So that's the first quick pass of triage. And then every time I visit the mailbox, I recommend you triage. You make a decision, one of these 4Ds, including triage. And about 20% of them are now left for you to do over coming days. And then you would go back and do a second pass. You have a deeper level of thinking and analysis. And at the end of that, you can 4D again. You can delete it now that you've had a closer look at it, deal with it, delegate. Or now that you realize it's a piece of work, transfer it across into the calendar and allocate time and resources and manage the workload aspects of that commitment. The toolbars that we have in our email software allow us to manage a whole range of things. Taking the attachments, you can make notes to yourself to get those thoughts that come up, capture those thoughts so they don't spin around in your head nagging you and you don't have to worry about forgetting them. So everything you need then is where you need it for when you need it, sitting in your calendar. And I will often have, I do a lot of speaking and training, and so I'll often have 3, 4, 5, 6 emails that relate to that particular training program sitting in the calendar. So everything is where I need it to be for when I need to see it again. That's and I awesome. Don't have to go hunting back through the mailbox trying to find 5 or 6 different emails that relate to it.
I love it. That's awesome. I'm going to have to try and figure out how to do that on my email system because it would save me a lot of time when I have to, you know, let's say I'll just use today as your interview as an example. I have to go up to the search thing, type in your name, and then I get the entire list of emails we've exchanged back and forth with someone. And yeah, I love that. I have to figure out how to do that calendar thing. That sounds like a great time saver. That's your specialty. That's what you do. It's helping people realize that. I love that. That's awesome. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with Stuart Snooks. So this would be part one of our two-part interview. And I'm telling you what, if you are having a problem with your email box getting flooded, or it's taking a lot of time out of your day just to go through the weeds to get to the fruit, you need to pay attention to what Stuart Snooks is sharing with us. I know my email box is like that, and Stuart is the email productivity expert. He helps CEOs, executives, and people like you and me take control of our inbox. Praise the Lord. You know, he's been sharing with us just these little tidbits of information. I'm like, yeah, why didn't I think of that, right? The 4D method of handling email, awesome. Absolutely awesome. And the thing is, it's not hard to do when you actually sit down and look at what it's going to take for you to take control and start planning your day where you are handling email instead of email handling you. That's when you know you've come abroad. Now, you need to go down to the show notes down below and check out the resources that Stuart Snooks has on his website. I can guarantee you there's something there that's going to help you. I'm going through it. I'm ordering my stuff because I need the help. And the things that he is sharing, I don't know why I haven't checked into this stuff before. I haven't even heard some of this stuff before, but it's opened my eyes to all this brand new way of taking control of my email box. And I know it will you. Okay? So join us tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.